Take our Bibles and open them to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to be looking at verses 3, 4, and 5. Revelation 21, 3, 4, and 5. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Let's kneel as we pray.
Father, we thank you
so very much that you love us more than we can ever imagine. We thank you that your Son came and became one of us, and has invited us to spend eternity with him and with you. Worthy is the Lamb. Father, bless us as we continue this service. May your Holy Spirit fill each one of us. May your angels stand around and encourage us and sing with us and praise God with us. We pray for those that are not here for whatever reason, that you will bless them where they are, and bring to us those that need to be here. Your will be done in all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand as we sing our theme song one last time this week.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love. For the nail-pierced hands, wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Thank you for this love, Lord.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem,
I want to run where the angels have trod.
Guys, they know it's one of my favorites, and it fits Revelation. Great. We heard it first in Tonga. If you want to spend some time Sabbath afternoon, go to YouTube and get the Hoppers. The Hoppers singing it in Toronto, and you get the Hoppers singing it in Jerusalem. At the top of a building, looking out over the city of Jerusalem, and they're singing Jerusalem. It's just, I have listened to it 100 times. Thank you, guys. Just to talk about angels, Melissa, who sang the soprano part, couldn't talk yesterday morning. And she just nailed it. So good for you. May God be glorified. Thank you again. This is my last time to have the microphone. So thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for Pastor Don letting us come. And it's been a very special week to meet you all and get a chance to talk about these things. The choice. I was a pastor here 40-some years ago. I was with someone else at the time, and then I wasn't. And there was a Friday night when I knew that I had a choice to make. I could go there and be drinking and partying and give up my faith, give up heaven, give up all of that, but be with this person. Or I could live without that, be alone, and stay with my faith and go to heaven. And it's a pretty big night in my life when I had to make that choice, is to say I'm going to be true to what I believe. And we have that choice all day, every day. And I've been having some fun with people to say, could I buy you out of heaven? If I were to give you $10,000 a day, you can be tax-free, spend any way you want for the rest of your life. Would you give up heaven for it? We were on a cruise, a river cruise here a few weeks ago, and there wasn't a lot of vegetarian food, some meals. It was a little thin, a few days, but there was always an ice cream bar. So I could get through with that, and here we were, these three or four choices with all the toppings. Ah, it was fun. Anybody remember Farrell's ice cream? The whole zoo would come at your way, people running all over the whole place, and you would have this ridiculous pot of ice cream. There's a little ice cream place 3 miles away from you here that we have had to visit a couple times in Jacksonville. If I were to give you unlimited ice cream, no bad effects, no diabetes, no nothing. Just, it would be great every day, 3 meals a day for the rest of your life. Would you give up heaven for it? A couple of my friends just got Teslas. If I could give you a brand new Tesla tomorrow free, would you give up heaven for it? If I could give you a house on the beach in Hawaii with every toy you've ever heard of, tax-free. Who cares about heaven? You got heaven here. Would you give it up? If I gave you a private jet that you could fly anywhere you wanted to, anytime you wanted, all for free, would you give it up? If I could pipe the most incredible music into your ears all the time. And you would just live in this gorgeous, alive music every second. For the rest of your life, would you give heaven up for that? If I could put you on a cruise ship, luxury suite, every day for the rest of your life, you never get off again. Just live in that. John Lennon wrote the song, Imagine There Is No Heaven. As I told you, I've had people criticize and just say, Pastor Dan, you and the Adventists and all your preachers, you're just focused too much on heaven someday, pie in the sky, by and by. You need to get more focused on this life. We need to be creating heaven on this earth. We need to be helping people who are suffering have heavenly moments down here. Okay, fair enough. But I sometimes ask them, I said, but how would you feel if you were in Ukraine right now in the middle of a war? How would you feel if you were in Venezuela right now where the economy has gone to hell and just a mess? Everything, people literally going through hell. I've been to Soweto, the slums outside Johannesburg in South Africa. And some others, Bangladesh and a few others. You just can't believe people have to live in circumstances like this. What if you were in that? What if you get cancer? I've had cancer this last year. And all of a sudden you begin to think, how long do I have? You know, maybe I just got a few weeks or months. I mean, what? Got a guy, one of my youth in last year, accident, and went from perfectly alive, 17, 18, to quadriplegic the rest of his life. You don't think heaven means anything to him and his family? In a wheelchair, managed by his head a little bit? My father died. Heaven looked pretty good to us. Yes, there are also some very cool moments down here. Should be another one. Where is it? I know, it's gone. Sorry. There's the one I wanted. We're sitting in a church in Rotenburg, Germany. Cute little town, 2,000 people. They call it the Red Roof Tile and Walled City. And we're with our friend, this other couple. They're still over there, months later. And there has this gorgeous altarpiece in front that is just unbelievable. Then you climb the stairs and go to the balcony, and there's this wood thing that's on the right here that is made by one of the greatest wood carvers in the world, and it's just, everyone comes to see it. It's just so beautiful. And then we went down, and we didn't really have to go right now, so we sat there in this beautiful church with the upswept building and the stained glass windows and these two beautiful things. And then the organ began to play. And we said, how does it get any better than this? We're just sitting here letting this music come over us. There are some nice moments once in a while in this earth. I have been to Victoria Falls where you walk for a mile walking along this waterfall. Incredible. Incredible. Try to do it in your life sometime. We went to Iceland last year. You cannot get the power of this with pictures. The waterfalls in Iceland are just spectacular. Just wow. And we went for 2 weeks. Or go to Hawaii. This is the beach that we go to, Kealia Beach. And we are just really happy. As soon as we can get out of the car and get to Kealia Beach. It's very cool. We love it there. But there's this problem, is that it always seems to come to an end. We line up at the airport in Hawaii to get on the red eye to go back home. Our time is over. You go on a cruise ship and there's a time when you have to get your bags and take them off and they get you off the boat because someone else is going on. Someone else gets your room. It comes to an end. And I wrote this and told this to somebody. You cannot string enough heavenly moments down here, no matter how cool some moments are. And we had a lot of special moments on our trip, eating in restaurants, looking up at the lights of castles, and just a lot of special moments. But you can't string enough of those together to make heaven down here. This is never going to be heaven, no matter what you do with it. So now we're down to Revelation 21 and 22. Just going to pick out a few themes that are here in the book. And one of the themes you heard in the text today is this idea of no more. Revelation 21:4, we read at funerals, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more night. I've done a lot of funerals in almost 50 years of pastoring now. And I keep thinking no one will ask, but people still ask. And you go and do them. You watch the people crying and suffering. You hate it. I hate cancer. I hate diabetes. I hate all the reasons why people die. I hate it all. You pastor bigger churches, you just have more. More funerals, more people sick. One time in last year, I had 6 people with cancer at the same time. One mother and daughter had breast cancer the same week. Why does that have to happen? You all saw this picture of a little boy, part of a family trying to get out of their country and come over the Mediterranean, and a disaster, little boy. Picture went all over the world. You can't make that okay. There's no way you can say, yeah, our world is kind of okay. That makes it not okay. Little boys should not have that happen. Too bad. We went to the House of Terror, Russians against Hungary. We saw where people were hung. These are names, pictures and faces of the people that have died. It was horrifying. It's horrifying to go through these places. I've been to the torture museums in Cambodia, the killing fields. I've been to the ones in Vietnam. This is the one in Hanoi. This is the one where John McCain was for several years. And I went through there with John McCain before he died. I happened to be there. Here came John McCain at the same time. And this is his jumpsuit that he had on in the plane when he got shot down over Haiphong Harbor. And he stood next to it and we all took pictures. It's a horrible place. And we all get old. I didn't think it was going to happen to me. But the birthdays keep ticking up. I've had fewer birthdays than Pastor Don. But who knew that I would be almost 70 years old? And after all the funerals and all the others, there's going to be a time when I will have to start using a cane, and there's been times I wanted to, but I was too embarrassed to do it. And then someone will give me a walker, and you'll be pushing the little walker. My mother's in a villa. All the people there have walkers. My mother felt left out. She bought a walker. Didn't even need it. She wanted to have a walker. And then there comes a time when my boys will have to say, Dad, you need to go into one of those places where you just sit there and eat with all these old people and play bingo and just get old. And then there'll be the day when they take me to a hospital and there'll be all the tubes and the things all hooked up. And then the news will go out. Pastor Dan has passed away. And there will be a funeral somewhere, La Sierra someplace. People that knew me, if there's anybody left, will come. I ask now for Sergio to play, and Savino and Sharon and Melissa to sing. And my brothers will tell stories and speak. And then they'll drive in cars out to the cemetery. I've done 200 funerals. My father is buried out there. And they will put me under that ground and they will throw flowers and then they'll put the grass back and they'll put a stone. There lies Pastor Dan. And they'll go back to the church for a fellowship hall and they'll eat cookies and tell stories. Everybody has a way of mimicking my voice. They were doing it in the car today. My sons. Pastor Dan, and they all have a little way. They talk like me. And then they'll all go home and it'll be over. It'll be over. The end. The end. Except for this little verse that says, no more dying there. Amen?
Amen.
You thankful for that verse today?
Amen.
Heaven look good to you?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. No more dying there. And then there's this next verse. Someday there will be no more curse. You know about the curse? The curse comes out of Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image and give him dominion. We were made to have dominion and power over our world. But then sin came in and we lost our dominion, and instead we got a curse. We can talk about that a long time, not the point today. And Moses stands up in front of all the people and he's giving his final message to everybody. And he says, if you'll just obey God, you will be the head and not the tail. You will be the top and not the bottom. Many other blessings. But then he says, but if you don't follow these commands, you will be cursed. And all these curses will follow you. A curse. You know about the curse? Every time the car breaks down and you got to do to deal with that. I hate that. It's the curse. Cars can be a curse. I'm standing up by the side of the road waiting for Hilda to come get me. Oh, a curse. And you find out that you have termites in your house and now you got to move out for a few days and they put the stupid tent over your house. The curse, these termites. Keep them out. And you're late and you got to get somewhere and somehow and now red light after red light after red light. Or you're waiting for the cars to stop and Satan just makes sure one car goes out every little bit to keep you from getting in. The curse. Traffic in the way. Traffic. Boston talks about the curse. They're 100 years without a World Series championship. They are one out away. And Bill Buckner is the first baseman, and the ball comes to him, and he lets it go through his feet. They call it the curse. How can this stuff happen? I read a story about a guy. He was in New York. He's a commuter. And he's getting ready to get on the train when the subway comes. Other people are getting off. He's just ready to get on, and the door opens, and a man is sick, and he comes out and throws up all over him. The curse. How can that happen? You're standing there and that happens. A curse. You play Monopoly. And you put hotels on the best property. And somehow the people never land on your property. But you land on theirs all the time. It's the curse. The curse. How can Satan control the dice for certain people? It's the curse. Hilda and I went to Switzerland. They pay a lot of money to go to Switzerland. We stayed there a week. Every day we drove up into the mountains to see. We know the mountains are there. There's benches sitting there that people sit in to look at the mountains. We didn't see a thing. Covered with clouds and fog. 5 days in Switzerland, we have yet to see any mountains. Our friends who are over there, they had to send us a picture last week. What they saw was the Matterhorn. That's the curse. I used to play golf with Jody Melishenko in Grants Pass. Back then, I was a pretty good golfer, not quite as good as him, but I won trophies. We played that Grants Pass golf course many, many times. I'll never get over the time I thought I was going to beat him, and I hit a ball, and it hit the cart path and bounced into the jungle.
And he hit a ball to the very same place, hit the very same cart path, bounced up on the green, and went in the hole for an eagle. How did that happen? I pay tithes, you know? And then the ultimate curse. I look at people like Brad Pitt who have hair, and I say, that's not fair. My dad, all my brothers, at least God was fair about that. No hair anywhere. Our sons are going south now. And there's a few others that are going to be struggling here. Anyway, you get the idea. It's a little fun with this, the curse. But Revelation, the last chapter, says someday there will be no more curse. Curse is going to be gone. Galatians 3 says Christ took the curse for us, hung up on a tree and took our curse. Someday we're not going to have the curse. Jesus took the curse. And someday we will go to a place where there's no more curse. Revelation is not just about that, but it's also about the opposite. So there's this, the differentness, there's different ways we talk about it. So when it says there's no more death, it also means there will be life. Life, life, life. God is the God of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Giving life. God is life-giving. People will never be more alive than we are in heaven. The colors will be brighter. We will be, everything will be more. Music will be better. Everything will be alive. Tony Campola talks about how your best moments of your life, you might have 5 or 10 great moments in your life that are best. We will have that every second of every day in heaven. Alive. Mark Twain made a lot of fun of it. You can read it on the internet. He said, all the stuff you want to do down here, you want to drink and gamble and party and all of that, you don't get to do any of that up there. The stuff you hate doing down here, like gardening and sitting in boring church, that you're going to do all day, every day for 1,000 years. That's what Mark Twain said. No. Bill Hybels tells a story of being in junior high choir. And the boys are acting up, 7th, 8th, 8th grade, just being silly. Finally, the lady choir director said, you boys, you better get used to this, because if you have any plans to go to heaven, this is what you're going to be doing all day, every day. Singing, practicing for choir? No. C.S. Lewis goes at the opposite end, and he said, joy is the serious business of heaven. Heaven filled with the best joy. The best joy, the best moment you ever have here will be what we have. They are tastes. We go to the little ice cream store, and these guys wanted to have little pink tastes of 2 or 3 kinds. I said, come on, guys, no more taste. Buy something. We have our little moments of pleasure down here. Those are tastes of what heaven will be every second of every day. I've had a lot of fun in my life here, and some of it was right here. I was young when I was here. I've water skied around here. I've water skied on the Rogue River. We used to do the whitewater rafting. We did a lot of that, and I was part of a group. We used to do the Wild and Scenic. Do you know about the Wild and Scenic? Yes. We did that many times. I used to have my own little torpedo boat. We were good at that. I love whitewater rafting. It's fun. Taste of heaven. We got tired of the flat parts. We were going to do rapid after rapid after rapid. And there's some other things that I have not done yet. I'm just too scared. Or certain people have told me I can't do them. So we saw people bungee jumping over there in Europe. We saw parasailing, people jumping off these cliffs, unbelievable. Motorcycle riding. There's a few things I would like to do someday, but I'm scared to do them here. My own belief is heaven's going to have one corner for all of us who want to do some adventure things, but it was too scary here. We're going to do them up there, and it's going to be safe. And we will have our thrill. The Bible says the next word is the word reward. Heaven's going to be a reward. My, Revelation 22:14, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. And can we make it clear, it's not just going to be a reward for the poor people. It's not just going to be a reward for the people who have suffered down here, who never got the chance to have anything. It's going to be a reward for Donald Trump, who has the Mar-a-Lago resort. It's going to be a reward for Bill Gates, who has how many acre house up there in Seattle. It's going to be a reward for the richest people in the world. Paul says, everything. How much? Everything is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. All these people that have had incredible houses and incredible things down here, that will all feel worthless compared to what we get up there. The reward. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived that God has prepared. We went through these castles. Better than that. Better than that. Another theme in Revelation is the idea of being in and out. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they who wash their robes, that they have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Some will be in. But there's also another verse that says, outside are the sexually immoral, the murderers, and the idolaters. It'll be in or out. Down here, it's kind of mixed. We don't really know. You could be in church and they're out, but you don't really know who's in and who's really out. We don't know. Pastor doesn't know. I don't know. You can walk into a crowd of people and you don't really know who's in or out. It's all mixed right now. But someday there's going to be walls. That's one of the things about walls. Walls define who was in and who are out. And someday there's going to be a very clear group that is out. And there's going to be a group that's inside. Inside. It's all through the Bible. Some group is inside, some group is outside. The virgins, Matthew 25, some are in, some are out. I had five associate pastors with me at La Sierra. And I began to be the oldest one with all these young pastors. And I found out one day at staff meeting that they had all bought $100 tickets to go to the U2 Christian rock concert. I said, you didn't invite me? They were shocked. They said, you want to go to that, Pastor Dan? We didn't think you'd be interested. What they meant was I was too old to do that. See? They left me out. They're in. They go, I'm out. I'm not in that group. Not welcome. Not thought of. Not even thought of. Boys came home. Boy came home from Arizona. And they said, I said, what are you guys going to do tonight? Oh, we have tickets to the hockey game. I said, were you planning to invite me? Oh, we didn't think you had time to go, Dad. They're in, and I'm out. And it says someday we're going to be in. We're going to go from outside to in. Maybe you've been outside all your life. You've always felt like you were never in the inner group. C.S. Lewis talks about the inner ring. Well, never in. It's always another group inner more than you. You don't get to be with the beautiful people. They eat together. They have a party, and you're outside. You're not in. You're not in the group. Someday we will be in. Inside. We were sitting there. These are our friends that are still over there. Their nephew is a new associate pastor at the Medford Church. Met him this week. So we're sitting at this beautiful restaurant, Ramsau. This gorgeous view. Unbelievable. And we sat there and we thought, we are here. You were not here. None of you were there. We were there. At least once in my life, I was inside. We were inside. We were in Europe. We're at Ramsau. We're looking at this. Everybody else wishes they were with us. They were here. But at least today, we're in and they're out. Someday, we're going to be in. We got married almost 36 years ago. We got married in my church, which is just an academy chapel. I was pastor of an academy. We had the reception at the cafeteria, pretty basic. And then we got in the car, and people came out and waved at us and all of that. And we drove up the California coast to Santa Barbara. Now, I didn't pay for this every night, but I paid for the first night at Biltmore Hotel, which is now the Four Seasons in Santa Barbara, right on the beach. No way to ever live like that again, but we did for one night. And we drove up, and there's people come running out to you, and they come and take your stuff out. Never had that happen before. You go in and pay, and then someone walks you down a pathway through gorgeous landscaping and took us into a room. And he began to show me things in the room. You know, here's how the curtains go and whatnot, and then the TV, and then the fireplace. And I'm about getting ready for him to leave, but he hasn't left. And I finally realized he wanted a tip. Okay. Found a couple dollars, gave him a tip. And he walked out and closed the door. And for the first time, I was inside with this lady. And it was okay. It was okay. You understand? You've been out for a long time, and all of a sudden, you're inside. And the Bible says someday we will be inside, and we will know that that's the home we were made for forever. That everything else we had before was outside, and now we are in, where it really matters. And then the Bible says God will dwell with us. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will see his face. I told you, I was a young pastor in Grants Pass. And I was searching, and I was looking, and trying to find more, and I had questions. And I would kneel down in my little office there in Grants Pass. The house is a wreck now, 40 years later. Drove by a while ago. And I would beg God to show me his face. I said, God, show me. Give me a light. I'll care anything. A voice, something. Let me know I didn't give my life to something that's not true, that's all a sham and a hoax. Let me see. Everybody wants to see the face of God. David begged, show me your face, God. I want to see your face. We want to be near and the promise of the Bible in the last chapter of Revelation 22 that someday we will see him face to face. We sing the song. And we will be with him face to face. All our longings will be met. We will see him face to face. And know that we will have that forever. I go away for trips. I leave on Wednesday night, be gone 4 weeks. And you long for your family to see their face again. And I keep thinking, okay, and fly back 17 hours. You go through customs and you hope they're out there somewhere. And you get your stuff and you go up along Oahu and then you go around a corner and there they are. And I get to see their face. These people. When I was stung by the bee that I told you the other night, didn't know that I would ever see them again. And when I came out of the hospital and I got to see my sons again and know that I was not going to die yet, that I was going to see their face. You have no idea what to see faces mean. And someday we will see the face of God. We had 3 white tablecloth meals every day on that boat, and someday we will eat with Jesus face to face. Maybe some of you have been accused and people fuss at you and people criticize. Pastors get it sometimes. You get anonymous notes. People, you should have. There's an accuser of the brethren, but the one message of the revelation is that someday we will be inside and the gates will close and the accuser of the brethren who accuses them day and night will be cast down. We will be safe inside. We won't be accused anymore. And all the finger pointers and all the accusers and all the criticizers will all be gone. None of those will be in heaven. That's all gone. We will be safe once and for all. And then God has this final phrase. He will be with us. Tabernacle of God is with us. We're with God. Not praying through infinite miles, we will be with God. My brother told me about a movie. I still haven't seen it, just know about the story. And somehow these aliens have come down to our earth, and these people are together somehow, and there's a scene where the young man is in a hot tub with a beautiful girl who was an alien from another planet somewhere. And they're in this hot tub and they're talking. When all of a sudden this beautiful girl says, would you like me to show you what love is like in our world? Oh, yes, he would. So he begins to move across the hot tub to come over to her. When she's, no. In our world, you don't touch for love. And she just began to put out this aura of love that enveloped him. And he had never felt anything like that before. No touching, just love. And that's what we will have from God. When you walk into the gates of heaven, we will feel this love and we will be healed of all our insecurities and inferiorities once and for all from the love of God. Now we come to one last word. Come. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Hilda and I were watching inside the actor's studio one night with Meryl Streep. And he had a question. He's passed away now. He asked a question to every guest. If there is a God and there is a heaven, and if you should be on your way into heaven, and you see God there, what do you hope God will say? And Meryl Streep, just as quick as I said, everybody in. Everybody's in. We often do a drama, but come. And that's the last word, really, of the theme of the book of Revelation. After all these thousands of years, that our God doesn't care about whatever mistakes you've made, whatever drama has been out there you've gone through. The ultimate word he hopes you will always hear. So I'll finish with a little true story that I've been using a few times. We retired in this dream I had. Everybody I know has had a dream about the second coming and about not being ready, Jesus, to come. Now here's mine, not long ago. And in the dream, I had retired and was older and wasn't going around anymore. And we had sold our house and moved to a high-rise in downtown Los Angeles. And we are in a 27th floor condo looking out over Los Angeles. It's beautiful. It's Christmas Eve. And all of our boys are there. Their girlfriends are there. And we're all there at midnight. We all go to bed. And all of a sudden, the building begins to shake. And Hilda bumps me and she says, Dan, the building's shaking. I think it's an earthquake. It's shaking pretty good, and we think maybe this is the big one that Los Angeles and California have been talking about for a long time. So Hilda said, we got to get out, Dan. So Hilda and the boys quickly get dressed and begin to go down. We got to use the stairs. Well, I'm old, and I got a cane, and I'm not so quick as them. We begin to go down the 27 floors, and they are far ahead of me. By the time I get down, and I come down into the lobby of our building, and I come out the door, and it is not the earthquake. It is not the big one. It is the second coming of Jesus. And there is the cloud, and there is Jesus and the angels, and it is as bright as a noonday. It's what we've been waiting for. And Hilda and the boys are up there. And they're yelling at me, come on, Dad, let's go. They're leaving. God, come on, Dad. But it's a small problem. You got to have an angel to take you to the cloud. Doesn't seem to be an angel for me. They have all had angels. Is it possible that after going all over the world and everything else, somehow I am not going to be ready somewhere? I don't fit. It's hard. And all of a sudden, the door of the building opened and here came an angel all out of breath. And I said, I went up to the 27th floor to look for you. And then the angel says the one word that means more to me today than any other word will ever matter. Come, let's go. And I will do 1,000 years with my wife and my children and all of you and all the people that I have baptized and all my Romans 16 and everyone else. Come. It's all that matters. There is nothing down here that matters if you miss that. I often tell the story of Williams, Oregon. I almost missed my welcome party. They didn't tell me. They just said I could come if I wanted to. I almost missed it. I thought, well, I better go. I drove out there, walked in the door, and it was a welcome party for me. I said, good night. I almost missed that. Someday we'll make it to the party, to end all parties. Please be there. Please be there. God bless you all.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Today.
Would you stand? Thank you. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone has heard that call today on the last page of the last book of the Bible. The Spirit and Lamb say, come. May we always hear that. May we always come. You have always come for us. May we come to you. And may, don't know when we'll be together, if we ever get to be here, see each other again, but Father, may we all come, north and south, east and west, and join together to be Romans 16, to be the body of Christ with you forever, face to face, inside, forever, safe. May nothing ever pull us away. Nothing here is worth it. So let's be there, Father, we pray. We're going to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? They have one more song they'd like to do with the local team here.
Sing with us too, okay?